welcome back to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We've got a fun show for you today, full crew. Today we're going to talk about the Chiefs bringing back more homegrown talent. We're going to make fun of the AFC West with a recurring segment, AFC West Expansion. We're going to talk about how OBJ kind of wants to be here in Kansas City. And we will talk about more draft crushes and looking into guys that Kansas City should look into, or at least players that you guys have said you're interested in. We got Thiz running the show in the background, and now two guys who have survived severe weather over the past 24 hours. It's JP, who's cold at 45 degrees, Caleb, who was for some reason outside during a hailstorm. How are we doing, guys?
Not too bad, man.
Not too bad. Pretty good. Can't complain. I wasn't outside. I was in the house watching it. But I did go outside before this hell went. I was like, oh, this is not good. I'm going back inside.
Yeah. That shit hurts when it hits you in the head.
I didn't get hit, but I saw the storm come. I'm like, nope, I'm going back inside. I'm not dealing with this tonight.
Yeah, too much. Well, at least you guys didn't get it as bad as some people. I mean, they had baseball-sized stuff in Kansas, mm-hmm. So not too bad. Hey, you know what's crazy? Parts of Colorado got, like where they normally don't get snow this time of year, got tons of snow. We got snow today.
Wow.
It actually snowed here today. I'm like, what the hell? It's freaking the end of March, and we're getting snow, or the middle of March.
Crazy.
And it just kind of is what it is. I mean, you never know what this weather's going to do. We brought back some homegrown guys. Derek Nye is back. You know, Deshaun Wharton's back. It's kind of nice. Jordy Fortson left. He went to Miami for a year. Mm-hmm. It kind of is what it is. He didn't see the field anyway. I mean, you and I both, Caleb, were on the Jordy Fortson train. We thought for sure this kid was going to be a solid player. When we found out that he was being converted to a tight end, we talked about it the week before. We said, man, he should be converted. Mm-hmm. And he was. I don't know, man. It sucks that he's, he hasn't been able to make the field. What's up, Will? But maybe he'll get a shot down there. I don't know. I kind of doubt it, but we'll see. They don't really have a ton of talent in the tight end room down there. You know, a lot of depth. So
he'll get on the field most likely, I feel like. And when you look at Forsen, a lot of good, but if you can't be on the field – that's just not going to work here. They have a roster spot ready for a guy who's ready to go, and that's just kind of how things are with that.
Absolutely.
You want to hear a fun fact? So this will be a trivia question at a bar in 4 years or 20 years from now. Derek Nottie,
gap right there, by the way. That was a big gap. 4 years
somewhere
or 20
along
years.
Line. Derek Nottie is the first Kansas City Chiefs player to get re-signed by Brett Veach, who was a Brett Veach draft pick.
Wow. That's kind of that's interesting.
Yeah. Third round pick. I don't think anybody can be upset about this. Now, the money hasn't come out yet because the signing happened like literally an hour ago. But look, I can't imagine it's really all that much.
I don't think it's that much.
It can't be.
Probably. $5 million?
Yeah, a couple million dollars. I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah.
Look, it's good, right? This entire offseason, I've talked about the importance of finding defensive linemen in the draft and guys mm-hmm. that are just filling up the roles because there were so many guys hitting free agency that you needed to fill your roster. And fill your roster with guys that you know who are going to be able to do the job that Spagnuolo wants you to do. It takes a special kind of athlete to be able to, eat up a couple of gaps on this play, to go in one gap this way and even, shift out further outside. Even if you're not playing a defensive edge, you're still playing further on the outside of the line than, some other defensive ends, right? So this is a guy that has been able to show that he's able to do that. Spags likes him, obviously. It works in the system. It's a good signing. These are the kind of signings that Kansas City needs to do in order to continue to, stay on top.
Yeah, you want your guys. You want the guys that understand the system back in the system.
Exactly.
It's really what it boils down to. I mean, I've been saying that forever, and I get some flack for it. But look, man, this is not an easy system. Whether it's offensively or defensively, it's not an easy system to just catch on. So it's always nice to have guys back that are willing to not only play for what they are worth, but also stick around and help get that next ring, help for that three-peat. I got to tell you who's comical right now is Drew Tranquil is cracking me up, bro.
Yeah, he's out
I have
here.
Never he's seen somebody.
He's as bad as some Chiefs fans trying to get
people really
out
is,
here.
He really is, man. Yep. I've never seen somebody so happy to be someplace. Have you ever seen a player that excited to be in one? I don't think I've ever seen a player talk so. He put 3 or 4 different posts out on Instagram. I just signed a 3-year deal. There's not a better place. I can't believe I got this deal done. I mean, just on and on and on. And then he's out there recruiting players. Look, man, that's what we need. We need guys like him that really give a shit. And he really gives a shit. He's happy with what he's doing.
Oh, easily. And that's the great thing. I mean, I know kind of the one thing Chiefs fans have talked about, and I know JPU has said this 800 times, I'm going to say it again, but the point is that the Chiefs are not going to make moves in the first wave of free agency. It's going to be the second and third waves, maybe the fourth. And that's what they're doing with some of their signings. No really big splashes. They had last couple years, it was like a Tyrann Mathieu. Then maybe it was a Justin Reed. But we're at the point where we got the nucleus. We're just getting some small pieces. So you don't need to pull from this player from such and such team that's going to make 4 years, $98 million. Like, that's just not going to help us.
No.
But the point is this. Mahomes just freed up $21 million in cap space for the team. So there will be some more moves made, hopefully. Now, I think they're going to bring in a receiver. I don't know who it will be, but they're going to bring in someone. But the point is this. Just because they didn't make moves in the first wave doesn't mean they're not going to make moves in the second and third wave, because that's how things work out at the end of the day. Because when we look at the different way the things the Chiefs have done so over the years, they're not always just going to jump on those guys in the beginning. Because someone put out a great tweet today from the little I got to see on Twitter. This guy said, this is great, all these teams are making signings, but you need to find someone who can go after Mahomes and go after Kelce. He's got a fair person said it has a fair point. So when we look at all these things coming to the fold, it just shows us over time that the Chiefs are going to be okay with the moves they're going to make. They're going to continue to do stuff. Money was just freed up. Expect some things to happen. Yeah, trades could very well happen too as well. 21
we
million.
So much time left.
Something's going to happen. And I think Mahomes is like, you need a receiver.
Yeah, there's so much time left. I mean,
figure it out. Because the guys who aren't here now, who are on the teams, that's fine with me. There's some other guys I think the Chiefs could possibly target and could work out really well.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is what it is. There's a lot of time left. Veach does this every year, and everybody gets pissed off. There's really no reason to get mad. Mm-hmm. There's not any reason to get mad about it. They know what they're doing. There's a couple wide receivers that are actually interested in playing here, and they're interested in. One of them got signed away because it's the Bills, and they're just trying to keep anybody they can away from us right now and trying to stay in contention. But, you know, I don't care how fast. Look, I like Samuel. I think he's a great player. He would have fit great in our system. Doesn't mean he's going to fit great in theirs. So that's just something that you have to look at. Hollywood Brown's still on the table. Tyler Boyd wants to play here. Oh, wait, by the way, did anybody know that OBJ wanted to play here, but he wanted to get paid like $30 million a week? I mean, come on, dude.
A lot to say.
Don't spoil these.
God. Guy's such a numbnuts. He had his opportunity. I'll leave it at that. But regardless, people are getting all excited and all upset about this stuff, and there's really no reason to. There's guys on the Twitter feed right now saying, well, you know, they were supposed to get a wide receiver and they didn't. Well, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I didn't know that free agency was over.
Yeah,
I had no clue.
Let me ask you this. Is there any wide receiver that's gotten drafted and you've looked at the contract and you're like, man, Kansas City missed out? Because I haven't.
No, not at all. No, the only one that I can say would probably – I don't know if they missed out, but he would have been pretty good in our system is that kid in Pittsburgh, Pickens. I think he would have been good
Pittsburgh
here.
Said that they weren't trading with Kansas City.
No, they said they were. They said they weren't trading. They didn't want to trade within their conference. That was a bunch of bullshit.
Gotcha.
They said they didn't want to trade within our conference, and yet they traded to Carolina.
Yeah, that's in the NFC, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's right. No, it wasn't Carolina. It was the Jags or somebody, right?
They sent him to Carolina.
Oh, they did send him to Carolina?
They shipped his ass to Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. They did. Well, anyway, regardless, I think we may have missed out on him if we'd had a chance to get him. I think he would have fit good in our system.
But honestly, I don't even think that he was really available. The only contract that I think Kansas City, quote-unquote, missed out on would be the Darnell Mooney one. But he had $13 million over 3 years.
They weren't gonna
like
pay
that one, I'm like, okay, like it makes sense for the value there. To where that's really the only one that I could be like, man, Kansas City missed out on that.
Yeah.
Maybe other than that, there's not a contract where I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, Kansas City really, really missed out on that one. And that upsets me that Kansas City didn't do it. So
yeah, Samuel got paid more than we would have ever thought of paying him.
Oh, yeah.
The Bills just wanted to get him. It was just what it was. Mm-hmm. He said, what about Mike Williams? I don't, man, look,
I don't need a you know, Alberto Mondesi on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, here's the thing, man. Right now, from what I'm hearing, Mike Williams is a big target for Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably where he's going to end up going. I can't see Veach signing a 31-year-old wide receiver.
With significant injury history.
Yeah, that is full of injury problems.
And
yeah,
I just
see that happening.
I understand that the Chargers have had a, let's say, just a negative history with their injury staff, you know, their training staff. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that our training staff over the last decade hasn't stabbed anybody in the lungs, right? So the bar is already set pretty low for how much you improve.
Just
but
enough.
Still, I'm not interested in, like you said, JP, and going out and signing a guy that's towards the end of his career when I can go out and spend more than likely less money on either other positions or trying to get value for signing guys that are just younger in general.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make sense. Veach has never done that. He's not going to do that, especially in the wide receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not going to happen. So anybody that's out there wishing for Mike Williams, stop. I mean,
we don't need Mike Williams.
We don't need Mike Williams.
I think would be a great answer.
DJ Shark, I don't know. We tried with him. Was that in 21, Caleb?
Last year.
It was last year for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Some of these guys, I know they want to play for us, but they also want more money than we're willing to pay. I'll just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that we don't need big name players. We need guys that are serviceable and can catch football.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Yeah. You know, that's just a good transition to talk about OBJ. We're going to go a little out of order. Throw Thiz, you know, keep him on his toes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
OBJ.
Jr. Because
I found that quote, by the way.
Yeah. Why? Go ahead and talk. Just read the quote and we can talk about it. Read the quote and then we'll get Caleb can just do his thing because we know what Caleb's going to say. So we'll open the floor to him.
I want to play for the Chiefs, but I want to be paid lots of money because this is probably going to be the last contract that I sign.
OBJ, 2020 called. Is not coming back no more, man. Seriously.
No.
I don't understand why he thinks he should get paid more. He is coming off the ACL. He barely did anything with the Ravens. He did okay with these teams he's been on the past. Yeah, he had a resurgence with the Rams, but that has been it. The Chiefs are not going to throw the bag at him. As JP said, they have tried already two other times. He's not circling back unless it's going to be for 1 year, $5 million, if that. Because he's too injury-prone. OBJ is not the elite receiver he thinks he is or used to be. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth.
He's not. Look, he did okay.
The opposite the Chiefs can get. And OBJ is going to go to a team who can need him and thinks he's a competitor, so it's probably going to be a team. I don't know, maybe the Eagles will throw a little few changes or something. But the point is this. He is not a really elite receiver anymore. There are other available options, and the Chiefs already had their opportunity to get him two different times. He turned them down, went to the Rams, did this, did that with other teams. So the point is this. That ship has now sailed. People are going to come around the third time around the block when you said no, 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 and take you. That's just not how it's going to work.
Well, not only that, I don't know if you guys know, but, you know, he dates the Kardashian. I don't think that's going to work out very well because Taylor Swift and her do not get along.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
Oh,
anyway,
my God.
I had to throw it in there, man. I had to throw it in there. No, he didn't do that great last year. He did okay, but he didn't do that great. And not only that, you know, Ravens fans right now are pissed off.
Mm.
They're pissed right now that they're calling him a traitor. And he played for you 1 year. It's not like he was there for, you know, 6 or 7 years. He was there barely a year. You're complaining because he wants to play for a different football team because you guys didn't re-sign him.
Well, and the point is that in that whole way the deal was made was so like, what was it, 2 years, $15 million, most of the money's coming off the books this year.
So weird. And that's what's annoying to me is he's getting fucking paid right now and he still wants to get the bag. You're getting paid for your old team,
really weird. Remember when we had this conversation, I talked about how, you know, he's getting the $18 million a year, and the reason they were able to afford it is because they put, like, four void years at the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of contract that if Kansas City were to go out and sign him, that's the kind of contract Kansas City would have to do it. Kansas City is not putting void years at the end of a contract for a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver who has had multiple lower body surgeries and hasn't been the same guy since the Super Bowl. That's just the way that it is. And so, you know, Caleb always says, you can either get the bag or you can get the ring.
That's okay? Right. You got two choices.
And that's, you're going to have to come here and get the ring. But even if you come here and you're trying to talk about how you're going to get a good deal for you and the Chiefs, I don't even see Kansas City really even talking about as an option because you are going to find younger guys to come in and take the position. If Kansas City were to sign OBJ, and then when Kansas City drafts a young wide receiver, well, here's what's going to happen. Here's what would happen. OBJ would be put on the outside or in the slot as the second or third wide receiver. OBJ would struggle because he's not athletically gifted as the same level as he used to be. And then we would come on the show after Kansas City would play games, and we'd be like, why the hell are they not playing the rookie? He is obviously more talented. He's more athletic. And then everybody on the social media and everybody talking about the game afterwards would be like, why the hell are we playing a 33-year-old wide receiver when the guy that we see is way more athletically gifted? Mm-hmm. That is the conversation that would be had if Kansas City were to sign OBJ. I promise you that.
And I guarantee you, it'd be the same if we signed Mike Williams. It'd be no different.
100%. Exactly what I just said.
Mike Williams would be a little bit better, though.
He would until he got hurt. Until he got hurt.
There's too much drama and too many issues.
Well, he would do great until he got injured. And that's the whole thing. He's very injury prone as well. So, I don't know, man. I just – Veach is not the guy to sign anyone that age, especially in that position. Like, everybody wanted Henry here. Why? Henry's 30 years old. He's on his last deal. Got a two-year deal. He's going to retire. His body's beat up. He hasn't been the same guy over the last year or so. Just hasn't. He's had a couple of breakout games. But other than that, he's not the same dude. But, man, our Twitter feed was blown up over, oh, my God, Henry. No. We don't want Henry. I would have taken Saquon Barkley, but not at that money.
When you are going out and building a team, you cannot chase the outliers.
Hell no.
When it comes to players that are either coming off injury or players that are guys that are older, you know, those sort of options that we see out into the in the world, those free agents specifically.
The Von Millers of the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can't go out and chase the outliers because you're going to get burned more likely than you are to get it correct.
And that's a perfect example because if you guys remember, right, Caleb and I talked about this on the show, Von Miller actually wanted to play for Kansas City. As soon as the Bills heard that, let's sign him. Let's give him all the money we got.
Yeah.
Let's sell a kidney. Let's sell our car, and let's just go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. I don't need two kidneys. I'll get rid of one. You get rid of one. We'll give him his money. Mm-hmm. And that's just how they're stupid. They did the same thing today. And they're going to continue to make mistakes like that because it's not – the problem doesn't really equate to the players. It's the organization and the coaching staff that are having more of the problems there, and the quarterback for that matter. He's having issues. He can't get his head out of his ass long enough to just play the game and take what the defense has given him. He wants to throw the ball 70 yards downfield to try and be the hero. Mm-hmm. He hasn't stopped doing that yet. When they realize that it's McDermott and the GM, then they'll figure it out. But
will they realize? That's the thing.
I don't know. I thought that look, he was on the hot seat at the end of this year. I thought for sure he was done. Or end of last year. I thought for sure he was done. But came back. So was Nick Sirianni, and he came back. You know, he had to put
in a different instance because he just came off a Super Bowl. They're not going to fire him. Now, if he has an abysmal year with the talent they have, then he's gone. But I do believe he has another year or two.
He had to put a PowerPoint presentation together and a business plan to keep his job. So, I don't know, man.
That collapse should never have happened.
No, it shouldn't have. But that was on a lot of players.
Hurts was hurt. Yeah. So, but at the same time, also, too, just different situations where like, okay, well, I mean, I guess that's just how things will be at this time period. But also, as we know, that not much can be done in certain situations. So.
No. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that are just selling off everybody right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, great example. They're not in the greatest shape right now. They've lost a couple. They're a great defensive player. They've lost their running back, which I don't know. I mean, I've never been a huge fan of his. But they lost him. Boyd's gone. So
Higgins wants to be traded.
I don't know, man. It's just it's different. It's a different situation.
And so, you know what? Let's there was a comment talking about Hunter Renfrow. I don't see who brought him up in the chat, but I want to talk about Hunter Renfrow.
Will did.
Yeah, okay. Will brought up Hunter Renfrow. That's actually an interesting conversation. So the Raiders cut Hunter Renfrow. It's interesting because you hear Hunter Renfrow and you think, wow, that's a good, like, three, a good slot guy, right? Mm-hmm. Hunter Renfrow has actually had a significant decline over the last 2 years. If you just, going by yards, right? As a rookie, 605. In 2020, 656. 2021 is where he peaked out. He was at 1,000 receiving yard. 2022 and 2023, despite playing in 10 games and 17 games respectively, he had 330 and 255 yards.
Yeah.
Like Hunter Renfrow, and if you look at his like PFF, to me, I have my problems with them, but there's some stuff, a lot of stuff I think they do well. Mm-hmm. There, one of the things they do well is their player grades for skill position and especially offensive linemen. If you look at the grade that he got over the last 2 years, it's 65.6, and then last year it was 48.6. So once again, we're seeing a significant decline in Hunter Renfrow.
Oh, easily.
Well, and we can't put all that on him either.
And I know I was getting ready to say, now the caveat is they've had bad quarterback play, right? And it's not all on him, but you also got to remember that Davante Adams has been there, Josh Jacobs has been there, right? Like there have been other weapons that should open the door for him. A guy of you to go from 1,000 yards to 330 yards to 255 yards to me, that's not a scheme thing. That is a player output thing, and he's been relatively healthy his entire career here as well. So to me, that says that is a athletic drop, and I don't want to bring in a guy that has such a significant drop off because, like I said, don't go chase the outliers. What are the odds that he's going to have a significant turnaround in his career?
Well, probably I guess my question is this: have you looked up how many times he was targeted on those yardage on that yardage?
In 2022, he had 50 targets for 330 yards.
Okay.
Hmm.
Last year he had 37 targets for
two. Yeah, that's very minimal targets for a wide receiver. I mean, it really is. I look at it from a different perspective.
Well, when you have Davante Adams, though, I mean, he's going to
pop up all those targets. Exactly. And not only that, bringing up all those wide receivers, you got not only Davante Adams, but you got that kid that was a quarterback that ended up being a really good wide receiver. Jacoby? Is it Jacoby Myers?
Yeah.
Okay, you got those two guys that quarterbacks are automatically going to go to, especially young quarterbacks. Or guys that are very, not confident in their own ability. Mm. If they can't put the ball in the right spot, they're going to go to the guys they think is going to be able to catch it, no matter if it's a bad ball or not. And that's kind of what they did. Jimmy Garoppolo did it. What's his name? What's that kid's name?
Aiden O'Connell.
They all did the same thing. I can't put it all on him. You know, he lost a lot of hair over the last few years. I don't know if that's part of it or not. Maybe his weight, you know, his balance is off. I don't know. I don't think he's as bad as everybody thinks he is. I think maybe he just – a lot of times system has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. And what is he, 28 years old 28 now.
And he'll turn 29 before the start of the season.
Yeah, if he came in on a decent contract, I wouldn't complain. But it would have to be a really good contract.
Yeah. I mean, if the Chiefs brought him in, I wouldn't throw a fit, right? I wouldn't be like, you know, this is a – and you know, I can throw a fit.
Okay? Caleb, there's a fucking –
Come on, man.
Spit it out. That's a first, Caleb. He's not going to throw a fit. We got to mark
that down. You know, Rick, we know.
But I do not see a ton of upside out of signing Hunter Renfrow. I think his best days are behind him, and I would much rather look to go to other places and trying to find wide receiver production.
Joe, you asked about Mike Williams. I doubt it. I just don't see it happening. Unless he comes on an extremely good contract, I can't see it happening. Mm-hmm. Not at his age with his injury issues. I think you're better off looking more or less. Somebody asked me today if they were really interested in another player. Yes, they kind of are. But look at Tyler Boyd. Look at Hollywood
Tyler
Brown.
Tyler Boyd is still out there. KJ Osborne is still out there. Curtis Samuel is still out there.
Curtis Samuel's not out there. He got signed today.
Oh, did he? Who did he sign
Bills.
By?
The Bills. Who do you think?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, no, he's gone. So, and there, look, I guarantee you, if the Chiefs would have never been brought up, he wouldn't have been signed by the Bills. if the Chiefs,
Tyler Boyd is still out there and KJ Osborne is still out there, there are still a couple of guys that are still out there that Kansas City can go out and mm-hmm. reach out to.
There are. I mean, it's not that we can't find somebody. It's just being a little particular.
Kansas City's not out there looking for a number one receiver, right? So also the bar is lower for what Kansas City is looking for. Kansas City isn't out there looking for a number one wide receiver. Kansas City is out there looking for a 500 to 600 yard receiver. Okay. Let's be realistic about what Kansas City is trying to go for here. Right. Kansas City was never going to go and sign a huge big name free agent. Ooh. You want to know the free agent that they went out and they signed? It was Chris Jones. That was the big free agent signing that Kansas City made.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, it was. I mean, no matter how you look at it, they've never done that as much as everybody. I mean, Caleb, how many times have we watched it happen on Twitter? Oh, my God, he's free. We got to get him.
He's got
his toe cut off and he's missing the finger, but we got to sign him because his name is huge.
Right.
It's not something that we need to do, man. We need a guy that can catch a football, not worry so much about the drops, and knows how to run routes. That's really what we need. You know, somebody that's serviceable. We don't need OBJ because I got to be honest with you. There's a lot of guys out there that are way better and younger, and we don't have to worry about them. Joe, as far as need is concerned, there's one team that I know is interested in right now, and that's the Colts. Everybody else has already signed their cornerbacks. So
right now it's
kind of looking like he might come back, but we'll just have to see.
If the Falcons get hit with a tampering,
oof,
and they lose a pick because of it, ain't no way he's going to Atlanta. And I'm going to be so pissed that they wanted Kirk Cousins. So Cole's cash Kirk Cousins so bad that Kansas City will not be able to trade with the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. He's the NFL champion for contracts. I'll give Kirk Cousins that. He is the NFL champion for
contracts. Oh, yeah.
His agent's better than Rosenhaus.
Oh, my God, man. I mean, this guy signed three good contracts and has got one playoff win. And he's 30.
Baker Mayfield has more playoff wins than him.
He does. It's pretty insane. I like Kirk Cousins. I have a newfound respect for him after the quarterback. But, damn. That one there, it's hard. He can be the most fierce competitor on the planet, but then it just seems like he falls apart. And I don't know what happens to him. You can't blame it all on the teams. Washington, yes. I blamed it all on Washington. No doubt in my mind. Can't really say that about Minnesota because they had some weapons down there, man.
I don't know. I mean, when you look at it, he went through like two or three head coaches.
Yeah. A lot of offensive coordinators.
Sometimes you're above that, but also at the same time, too, where he's been, there's been some dysfunction.
Well, I don't know, man. Look, I don't know. That's going to be – he could be. I'm not going to say he's not going to be. But I know he wants to come back to Kansas City. And right now, the way it's looking, there's really not a lot of teams out there that are trying to sign a $21 million a year corner. They're all picking up guys that are way less money. Like I said, the only team out there right now that's shown interest at all in trade-wise is the Colts. Mm-hmm. Everybody else that checked on him – kind of backed off. They already signed somebody, for that matter.
It's going to go cold for a little bit. If he gets traded, slash went, because I still believe he gets traded. It'll be closer to the draft. That's when I think it'll happen. I don't think it happens anytime between here or the next few weeks. I think that this is going to be something that is kind of going to hang over the team for a while, and he'll get traded. Like on draft night or a couple of days before draft night.
He could be traded during the draft too.
Maybe Kansas City wants to, that's what Kansas City sees a guy. They're in discussions with a couple of different teams. They see, let's just use the Colts for example. They see a guy that they want to go get. Colts are willing to move on from their pick because, they don't really like how the board is falling for them. Kansas City moves up and doesn't trade, a next year's X pick. Instead, they come in and they trade Snead. To get that pick.
Yeah. Do you want pick or do you want player for Snead?
I would want both. Okay. I would want both.
I want picks because the reason you're moving off of Snead is to save cap space. Mm-hmm. So I want picks.
Well, don't know.
I'm not moving off of Snead for his athleticism, for his age. I'm not moving off of Snead because I think that there's like a guy that's so much better that you can get. I'm moving off of Snead to save draft space or to save cap space so I can go up and get cheaper, younger guys. That's why that you're trading him. So I don't want players. I want picks.
Yeah, but there's a lot of times Veach has went out and got players from other teams that he wanted in the draft that maybe a year or two down the line, he's done that 3 or 4 years straight. He's done that.
That's true. If you're trading for a guy that's on a rookie deal, right? Let's say you're trading for a draft pick, right? And you get a failed – let's just use the Colts, for example. You're getting a failed third-round pick of theirs, you know, from 2 years ago. So I'm getting a player that Veach liked in the draft a couple years ago. I'm getting 2 years of control of a player that I really like coming out of the draft, and I get a draft pick. Yeah. That's something that I can see. But I want players that I can control and players that I feel like are my kind of guys. That's what I'm looking for.
Exactly. Joe, I understand. I mean, it's frustrating, but in the same aspect, it's every year. It's the same thing. Veach is methodical about this stuff. Andy's methodical. And also, you got to remember, with these wide receivers, Mahomes has a lot to say in this. It's not like they're sitting back going, okay, well, we're just going to decide for him. They've made that mistake in the past. But they ask him every time, do you like this guy? They'll even bring people in for workouts if they have to. So I wouldn't be too concerned with it. We've got so much time left to make moves in that position. We got the money sitting there waiting. I would just not be concerned with it because right now their mindset is we want a three-peat, and they're doing everything they can to bring back the guys that they had in the past, or for the most part they can, and bringing in the right people in the in the offensive side of the ball. And I think that's what they're going to do. I wouldn't be too concerned with it. If players fall off the grid during that, is there any update on Mike Dana resigning? I think didn't Mike Dana go somewhere?
No, he's with the Chiefs.
Sign again for the 2024 season?
Oh, sorry. Naughty did. I don't know about
Naughty that. I thought Naughty was going – or Dana was going somewhere, but I could be wrong. I'd have to check on that. I don't know. Sorry, Will, I don't know that one. I wouldn't be concerned with it, man. This is part of the game with Veach. He doesn't make stupid moves. You know, he made his stupid moves a few times at the beginning, and he's learned from them. So, rookie mistakes. But anyway, we got to make fun of some people.
We got to make fun of the AFC West specifically. So we're gonna do AFC West expansion, where we talk about the rest of the AFC West and how much they suck. Yeah. We go in alphabetical order because these teams don't matter, and they matter so little that if I didn't go in alphabetical order, I'd forget about one of them, despite the fact there's only three teams. Yeah. So we're going to start with the Denver Broncos. We all know about the Russell Wilson move and that they cut Russell Wilson. They want to pay him $85-ish million to GTFO of Denver, and he is now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Which may be a backup, by the way.
Like releasing safety Justin Simmons. They traded away Jerry Jeudy for a fifth and sixth round pick to Cleveland. They re-signed Chiefs legend fullback Michael Burton. That might be the best move that they've made this offseason. And some other moves by, you know, some smaller guys that, you know, you probably won't even recognize. But those are definitely the big moves that they've done this offseason.
By the way, they are still, if I'm not mistaken, as of 17 hours ago, they were still $14 million in the hole.
This year is basically, let's just get through it and let's sell everyone off.
Holy crap. Dude, oh, my God, man. I mean, they have been in cap hell for so long and making terrible decisions at the quarterback position for so long. I don't know, man. I mean, Russell Wilson may be a backup in Pittsburgh. Who knows?
I think he wins the job.
I don't know.
He's a better quarterback than Kenny Pickett.
Well, he is, but that's not saying a whole lot. All I'm saying
you're right. It's not, but
it's not saying a whole lot. And all I'm saying is that Tomlin is big on Pickett. He does not like to give up on people, and Pickett's had a little kind of an attitude up there too about it. But
well, that's probably why he's like, well, you know what, we're bringing someone else in.
And maybe I don't know, but hey, who knows if Russell Wilson doesn't get his head out of his ass and get to playing. I mean, I think he's lost more than one step. He doesn't look like the same player he did. He hasn't looked like the same player in a long time. There was a reason why Carroll tried to get rid of him in 17 and then again in 18 and then again in 19. the ownership just didn't allow it to happen. But he's just not the player he used to be. They don't have a quarterback. I mean, they just don't have a quarterback. They got nobody right now. They haven't signed anyone, and they don't have the money to go out and sign anyone. They're going to have to pick somebody up. They're going to have to get somebody off of a practice squad, a second-string player somewhere, or draft somebody, which I – Sean Payton is not a quarterback guru. We all know that. He got lucky with Drew Brees, and that's really about it.
Actually, fun fact, he wanted Tony Romo when he was with the Cowboys.
Yeah, he did. I would say that, you know, first of all, obviously the Russell Wilson one is the biggest move. Pretty simple. The trading of Jerry Jeudy is funny to me because he's been on the trade block basically since he got drafted.
Yeah.
And he could have been traded for so much more if they would have traded him either last year or the year before that.
Yeah.
But they held on to him because they had false hope. They gave themselves false hope multiple times. They would win one game and it'd be like, oh my God, guys, we're turning around. We can't
trade Jerry Jeudy.
And this is the dysfunctional franchises do dysfunctional things. And the Broncos are dysfunctional.
Yeah. And it's sad. I thought the Waltons would turn that whole organization around. They have not. Right now, they're in. I mean, it may take a few years. Maybe they got better, more elaborate plans for the future. For the next 2 years, minimum, they're in bad shape.
You have some issues.
They're going to struggle. No matter how you look at it, they're going to struggle. Moving on to the Chargers.
Man. This is a – you want to talk about a team that was screwed by the cap? It was the Chargers. Their biggest moves have been adjusting the cap, releasing Mike Williams like we've talked about. They've worked with the Bosa contract in order to keep him there.
And Khalil Mack.
They worked with Khalil Mack's contract to keep him there. So this is a team that really this offseason, their focus was to make sure that they've been cap compliant. We know, obviously, about the head coach that they brought in. But look – this is a team that I'm sure after the draft is going to win the Super Bowl of the offseason, right?
Yep.
I'm sure that they're going to be the team that something, despite the fact they finished fourth in the AFC West at 5-12, they're somehow going to win the offseason. It's going to be interesting to see what they do moving forward because now that they may actually be able to do something, but I don't know how you could sit here and have a real conversation with yourself about what the Chargers have done and what they are because they have gotten worse over the last week. They have. I don't see anything that they've done that you're like, man, that was a good move, except for the fact that they can play in the NFL because they got under the cap. That's what they did. They can play in the NFL now. Congratulations.
It's sad.
You did it.
No matter how you look at it, it's sad. It's strange. Oh, by the way, I want to get this out of the way. Does anybody know who this Carton guy is that has a YouTube channel?
I know you're talking about. He's on the Fox Sports. I've seen his stuff. I haven't really watched.
Okay, don't listen to him. Do not listen to what that man has to say. First of all, he said that Harbaugh was going to trade Justin Herbert off prior to the draft. That was the first thing he said. So if that doesn't give you an indication that he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, then he said, the one and only signing that we're going to have is OBJ, and we're going to sign him to all the money. Do not listen to him. Herbert's not going anywhere. For the six Charger fans out there, and if any of you six are listening, you still got your quarterback. Don't listen to the guy. All I can say is that they're another team that is probably – look, as sad as it sounds, they're probably going to be second.
Mm-hmm.
He said they got his clips all over TikTok. I know. That's his daughter doing that for him. I don't see how they can – they're probably going to be second in our division. I just have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, look, you got two mediocre quarterbacks with the Raiders. So I don't know, man. The Denver's, they're done. They're toast. I have a feeling Harbaugh's probably the better coach of the few that are out there, and he's probably going to get him to second. Maybe an 8-win season.
It also helps they're playing a fourth place schedule.
Correct. That is huge.
They've got an easier schedule than the Raiders and the Chargers just because and the Broncos just because how the NFL scheduling works. I don't know if I'll say they end up in second place, but I'll have to see what they do in the draft, and especially in that first round, who they end up taking. But yeah, look, this is a team that I can't take seriously. Yeah. I do think their coach has shown the ability. Harbaugh has shown the ability to build a team. He's done it a couple of times, at college and in the NFL level. He's done it at the NFL level, what he was able to do with the 49ers. I will say that the 49ers already had some talent on that team, kind of like the Chargers do now. Mm-hmm. But here's what's going to happen. You know, hear me now, quote me later. They're going to come in. They're going to be mediocre/bad this year. Next year, the Chargers are going to be a good football team. The year after that, they're going to be a good football team. Vinny's going to piss everybody off in the inside of L.A. because that's what he does. And the Chargers are going to go back to being bad, and he will get fired. So we're only going to deal with Harbaugh for the next 4, 5, 6 years. That's all. Harbaugh will win this division.
I actually don't doubt that at all.
Because every single time he goes, whether it's at college or in the NFL level, that's what happens to Harbaugh. He's there for a little bit. He sort of revitalizes the program because he's a good football coach. Mm-hmm. And then people get tired of him, and he gets his ass canned. That's the way that it works. Or he gets in so much trouble with the NCAA that he has to leave because he's been penalized twice in 1 year, and then eventually he's going to, you know, get in trouble the following year. So he just says, deuces are wild, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I agree with – I can't argue with that. I mean, there's no arguing with that. That's probably what's going to happen. All right, let's move on to the Raiders because that's actually
– All right, the Las Vegas Raiders. Second place finish in the AFC West with 8-9. They have done some actually interesting moves. Sarcasm aside, they've made a couple of moves that are interesting, like cutting Jimmy Garoppolo. No, I'm just kidding. They signed defensive tackle Christian Wilkinson.
That's a good move.
That to me is a pretty big move for the Raiders. Max Crosby, Christian Wilkinson on the same line. That's a hell of a duo. Right there.
Let me ask you, though.
Is sort of that next tier of pass rushers on the inside. That's a good move for them. After that, don't care.
Let me ask you, though. If you're going to go – I mean, I get it. He's a defensive guy. His goal in life is to beat Mahomes, and that's fine. And the only way I guess he knows how to do that is on the defensive side of the ball because he's done nothing for the offensive side of the ball. He brought in Minshew. He's got Aiden O'Donnell and Minshew.
And whoever they draft.
Huh?
Whoever they draft, because they're taking a quarterback.
I think they are, too.
Will there be a quarterback there?
Yeah.
They may make
a quarterback there. And look, right now I think any team in the league, with the exception of maybe – and Denver might even do it. They would trade up with probably any team, or any team would trade up with them just to try to help beat us. So, yeah, I would say that could happen. But – there'd probably be a quarterback there at that point.
And maybe this is a conversation we have, you know, as the draft gets closer. But
they suck. I mean, they're not doing
the right thing. There's five quarterbacks that are like first-round talents, right?
Yeah.
The first three picks are going quarterback, right? Yeah. Caleb Williams, and then Drake May / Jaden Daniels, and then Drake May / Jaden Daniels, whoever doesn't get drafted second is going third, right? That's sort of the order that seems to be – the ones that the NFL seems to be most interested in, okay? Mm-hmm. After that, you've got Bo Nix, who I'm higher on than a lot of people. And then you've got Michael Penix Jr. And then J.J. McCarthy, right? Six guys are the ones that people are highest on. And then, you know, you can talk about, like, your Spencer Rattlers of the world who are going to go in the second and third round.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the six. So after the first three, you've got Bo Nix, Penix Jr., and J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy is a bust right away. Michael Penix Jr. is interesting to me, but his injury history has me questioning.
He needs to be with a team that has a whole line.
Right. He has to go to a team that has a really good offensive line. There are teams in front of the Raiders and the Broncos because they go back-to-back. There are teams like the Vikings. There are teams like Atlanta. Like, there are teams that need long-term solutions at quarterback and not just, you know, let's get a guy for a couple years and see what happens. So there's just not enough. There are not enough chairs. There's not enough quarterbacks to go around. some of these teams are going to be SOL when it comes to drafting a young quarterback.
I don't see the Raiders being shit out of luck, but I think they're going to be in position to get one. And I'm sure that that's probably what their plan is, but it's not going to help them now. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have the quarterback's coach or the offensive coordinator to develop a quarterback that quickly. If that was the case, Aiden O'Donnell would have done better than he did. Mm. You know, I'm sorry, but it is what it is. I think they're spending a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball, and they're really not looking at the offense. They're cutting offensive players, but they're not replacing them with anyone.
Not only are they spending money on the defensive line for the Raiders hasn't been the problem for the past 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, right?
It hasn't.
It's been the back seven. Yeah, it's been their corners have been Swiss cheese out there, and their linebackers are like, you realize you're supposed to tackle people, right? Like, that's the whole point of the sport. And none of the back seven players have been successful in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So this is the problem that they've had. They've always seemed to be able to find interior guys. They've always been able to seem to find other guys that have been outside. Maybe not Max Crosby types, right? Because he is truly an elite pass rusher. But the Raiders have always been able to manufacture some sort of pressure on the line. Yeah. It's been the back seven dudes that have sucked.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Now, here's the thing. Along with that, they've done a really good job. You know, they did a really good job bringing Davante Adams in, but they've done nothing to alleviate some of the pressure on him. They haven't had a quarterback that really knows what they're doing. I mean, you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, he forced the ball to Adams. Derek Carr did it first, then Jimmy Garoppolo, then Aiden O'Connell. Everybody just forces the ball to him or Jacoby Myers, which he turned out to be a really good wide receiver. I'm not going to say he's not. But you can't just rely on two guys in this league. You can't. And really one guy and then the 35% of the rest goes to the other guy. You can't do that. You made a good point earlier with Hunter Renfrow. Guys had no targets. 35 targets last year or 37. That's terrible. That tells you that they don't have an offensive plan. They don't have a scheme. They don't have a package put together. Whoever's open, whoever's not open, just throw the ball. Hopefully they catch it. That's not going to work in this league. It's just not. So I don't know how long they're going to be able to withstand this kind of embarrassment. I just don't know.
A lot of moves need to be made in order for them to elevate. And they may do some elevation this year, but they may go 1-1 with the Chiefs. Again, I don't see them doing a lot of changes. Unless something just happens that we don't expect. Maybe
I think that was a one-off this year.
But I think they can have a winning record this year and make the playoffs.
The Raiders?
Take a bit, huh?
The Raiders?
I think if they get the right quarterback and things go their way, like there has to be a lot of dominoes that fall. But if things go their way, they may have a chance to sneak in.
I don't know, man. I think that Christmas game was more or less that was like an anomaly.
Anomaly, but I think the way things are turning around, I think they'll be able to. This year will be a little bit more better for them.
Well, they got to get a quarterback because they don't have one.
Right, they have
the two guys they got are not the answer to anything. I mean, in my opinion, they're just not the answer. It's kind of comical. Look, Cincinnati, I got to bring this up because they are falling apart. I don't know if you guys noticed, but they've lost a lot of their great defense. Well, the few great defensive players they had, they've lost. Now they lost Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins wants to be out. You got all these teams that are just basically falling apart. The Bills, look what they had to go through. I mean, they basically traded off everybody or cut everybody. There's a lot of teams out there that I think people are really banking on, and they're not going to be the same team this coming up year. You got a lot of new faces coming in, same old coaching, new faces. That is not a good combination. It's just not.
Yeah. Next week we're gonna have to talk about guys that have teams that have improved and teams that haven't
because that's gonna be our next week.
In the AFC, there's been some movement from other teams around the league, both in the AFC and not. So I think next week we're gonna have to break down AFC and NFC moves that have happened and how they affect Kansas City because I think there have been some significant developments among teams around Kansas City. You know, contenders around the AFC. So
and there's a couple of sleeper teams that people don't. I think people are ignoring. Exactly. There's a couple of sleeper teams that people are just ignoring right now.
We've got about 10 minutes left on the show. Let's talk about some of our draft crushes and guys that you wanted us to look at.
Yeah.
Who wants? I've got a couple. I've got a linebacker and a tight end. I know JP's got a couple of wide receivers, and Caleb's got a running back. So, who wants to go first?
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Thiz, you pull up a player and we'll know who's first.
Yeah, dealer's choice, Thiz.
Dealer choice, brother.
Oh, Xavier Leggett. That's you, JP.
Look, man. I don't know if you guys have watched any film on this guy. Holy crap. I love this kid. Watch this kid right here. Watch this film. He's got extension. He's got speed. 6'2", 110 pounds. Last year, 1,255 yards, 7 touchdowns, and he had a 217 yard game against Jacksonville State. He runs a 4.39 40, which is pretty quick for a guy that big. He's got really good route running abilities. His route running is just crisp. It's phenomenal. But he's also big enough to be able to run people over. But his speed is insane. His 10-yard split, 1.54. His 20-yard split, 2.54. That's pretty damn quick. I like everything about this kid. He's just he's almost got that day one starter mentality.
Ooh, okay. Now I have a question for you, JP.
Yeah.
Does he remind you of Debo?
A little bit. He does. A little bit. He reminds me a little bit of Debo, but you know who else he kind of reminds me of, and it's strange, is he kind of reminds me of Rice. He's got that big body.
I can see that.
I'll bowl you over type of thing. I'm going to reach up. I'm a good 50-50 guy. Go ahead and put it down the field. If you want to put a guy over the top on me, go ahead, because I'm going to take the ball from you. He's a good player. I would love to see him. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go in the draft. I have a feeling he's probably going to be high second, low third round. It'd be a perfect time for us to get him. But we'll just have to see. I would love to see that happen.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about him is that my concern is that he didn't break out into a senior year, which, you know, isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? Because you're expecting guys to get better and move on.
I don't think he was a starter until his senior year, though.
So that would just be and from when you're from a smaller school, you know, I want you to be dominant for multiple years. But, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think that's just something that you need to keep an eye on.
Look at that dude.
Definitely, man. A guy. Look, you're absolutely right about his athleticism. Ooh, that can't be denied. That's so good. Now that Kansas City's not looking for the guy, right? I think we can all agree that Rice is the guy. You're okay with taking somebody that needs a little bit more development in the league. And that's okay. So Kansas City isn't pressured to go out and get, you know, truly a dominant wide receiver from day one. You have some breathing room on who you can go out and get. So yeah, that's absolutely a guy that you should keep an eye on. All right, who you got next is?
Oh, my guy, Will Shipley. Okay, so this is running back out of Clemson. So I didn't get to watch a lot of Clemson football this past couple years. But every time I turn on my TV, Will Shipley is a great running back. We can help the Chiefs in a lot of different areas, the running game and the passing game. And my thing reminds me, he's a bigger version of Clyde. So when you look at Will Shipley, he is able to catch the ball out of the backfield and pull the ball upfield. He also is a great between the tackles runner. So he's always going to continue to push someone over. So just some highlights here. We see what he does here. Just great speed, continues to push through. He's able to hit off defenders. So week in, week out, I believe if the Chiefs are looking for a running back, this is someone who could possibly fall in the draft. I believe they can take possibly day two, early day three. But he has some great ability that can really help the Chiefs overall. So I believe having a guy like this is just going to add another wrinkle to this running back group. That's going to allow for the Chiefs to expand upon, because you can put him in the outside. You can also have him run. He can just do so many different things. And just imagine him and Pacheco on the backfield, switching off on different plays and things. They're both extremely dominant. I believe Will Shipley could have the opportunity, if he falls to the Chiefs, a lot of teams are like, how did we let him fall to Kansas City? Because he can just do a lot of different things. You just saw him that play, catch the ball down the field. Some highlights I was watching earlier, the guy can run between the tackles, catch quick of the backfield, turn the ball upfield. So, I mean, literally, there's several different things he can do. But I believe if you add him and say Pacheco's get hurt for a game or two, Will should be able to step up. He's a great 1-2 punch. I believe he could be better what we were expecting Clyde to be as a mid to late third, early fourth round pick. I believe he's gone by the fourth. I think the Chiefs could take him in that range where we see a lot of great players are taken in that third round between picks 75 and 98. I think he could go somewhere in between there. Just due to
what I like about him too is that he's a good blocking running back. That's something that he's a good blocking running back.
Yes, you need
that. The kid's got, yeah, he's really good at that. He understands, he reads defenses very well. I think he's one of those guys. I agree with you. He's good. He's another one that, you know, we got a seventh round pick in Pacheco. This guy, I think he'd be a great combination with him.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I'll say about him. This is a guy that can be used in the passing game. And that's something that I love watching running backs catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, if you can get Patrick Mahomes another sort of check down kind of guy and not just having Travis Kelce be the security blanket, I think that's a huge benefit. That, to me, is really what you can use him for. Look, my problem is that I don't like picking wide receivers from big or running backs from big schools. I'm just kind of against that philosophy because when you get running backs from bigger schools, they generally have good offensive lines. And I want a guy that has developed in a system where he has a bad offensive line because his production is truly his production. So think of Pacheco, right? You know, you've got a guy that had a guy that came from a school that didn't have a great offensive line and was able to produce. Clyde, on the other hand, coming from LSU, he came from this overpowered offense. The best offense college football may ever see, and he was able to produce. Well, maybe that was because of his offensive line and the fact that he had two great wide receivers and a great quarterback on the team. So I'm just hesitant when it comes to that, but I do love his ability to run out of the backfield. He can avoid tackles, great in the screen game, like I said. Those are the kind of things that I want to see out of a running back.
I understand that. I think you're kind of limiting yourself to two players, but Clyde and Pacheco. I mean, you got to look outside.
One thing I would say is this. Clemson has had some down years, but he's always been a fairly constant. I think he's had two or back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He's done a very good job for the most part. And if he comes to Kansas City, we always have a good offensive line. So I think he could really do something. I think he has the opportunity, if the Chiefs get the opportunity, where he can turn some heads. Maybe not one rookie of the year, but make some big catches when we need to. When Pacheco gets hurt, throw him in. But guys like Clyde and these other people aren't the answer. He is, in my opinion, a combination of that power and scat back, if you look at him.
Right.
He's in both situations. That's what the Chiefs really need. Two for one instead of just all these scat backs. Right. Sometimes you got to pound the rock.
Yeah.
Hey, and you know what? Credit to Andy Reid because he did that more in this year than I think I've seen Andy Reid
ever
run the ball.
He's never run the ball as much as he did in 23.
Going and getting a running back – at some point, I've got some notes on some running backs that I want Kansas City to take a look at. So Kansas City should take a running back here in the draft. If Kansas City, like I said, this is another guy where it's like if Kansas City took it, I wouldn't complain. You know, I do think that there's a lot of potential there, and I keep coming back to what he's able to do in the passing game because it is very impressive.
Who's next, Diz?
My guy, Dallas Gant. Okay, so he played his final senior year in Toledo, but he spent some time in Ohio. This is a guy that I think because he played at a smaller school, Kansas City is going to be able to pick up late in the draft. This is a guy that has played both pure linebacker, blitzing linebacker, going after the running back, but also has dropped back. He played in every single game. While he didn't have an interception, he had a couple of pass breakups, and he was used as a pass rusher at Toledo. He got 9 pressures, including 6 quarterback hurries, a couple of hits, and while he didn't get a sack, we know that pressures are more important than sacks because sacks are a quarterback stat and pressures are a pass rushing stat. This is the kind of guy that I think is a Spags guy. He has Spags written all over it. Like I said, used in the passing game, used to go after running backs, just like, you know, this play right here against Minnesota when he was at Ohio. This is a perfect Spags guy. And you want to look to replace a guy like a Willie Gay, an extremely athletic linebacker, someone that has been used all over the field in multiple positions. This guy ran a 4.58 40. You know, that's top, that's 83 percentile. Huge guy, right? This is a guy that I want to see Kansas City go after because he fits that Spagnuolo role and what
the
Chiefs love to do on the defensive side.
Yeah, he seemed like a pretty good player. I didn't know a whole lot about him, but I'm just reading a little bit about him right now. He seems like he's pretty decent. I mean, look, it's hard to find a replacement for Willie Gay, but I mean, you got to start somewhere. I mean, we knew. I think Willie got a cheap deal where he went, but it is what it is. I think we could have signed him for that, but whatever. Good pick, man. Good pick. I mean, there's nothing really to say negative about the guy. Pretty good player.
I like to find, you know, more obscure players. That's what
that's what we do. You know, we find people that aren't on the radar for everybody else. That's what Veach has been doing, and it's worked out pretty well for us. Who's next, Diz?
Franklin. That's
Troy. Man, look, I don't know what you guys are missing here, but Troy Franklin is a good player. Great wide receiver, 6'3", 187, 81 receptions for 1,383 yards, 14 touchdowns. His yak is 17.1. That was his yak. His average yards after the catch was 17.1. His wasn't as quick as Leggett. He ran a 4.4140. He had a 1.61 10-yard split, but he's big. He's a big, strong guy. Put on a little bit of weight for this last year. It was kind of showed. He's got phenomenal skills, great route running ability. Watch this play right here. He opens up and he burns everybody, man. I mean, the guy is – Oregon had – they always have good wide receivers, but this guy here, over the middle, on the outside, playing the slot, he can do it all.
And that ball was thrown kind of behind him. So
it
he
was thrown behind
him. Touched that ball.
Correct. In fact, if you watch any of his film, there's times that he actually outruns the play and the quarterback, and he does have to go back for the ball. And it's not just one time. It's a few times because he's so damn fast. He doesn't look that quick on the 40-yard dash, but his game speed is totally different. He's got really good north-south moves, but he's east-west as well. The guy can cut and he breaks ankles, and that's what I like about him. I think he'd be a great addition to this team. I think he'd be a fourth-round pick. Let's see what this play. Look at that.
Ooh.
He's got juke moves that, man, it's reminiscent of a couple guys in the NFL right now. But he just breaks ankles, man. And that's what I like about this kid. He's tall. He's tall. He's got the speed, the game speed that we need. And he's got that 50-50 ball guy, which that's what we really need. Guy with great hands that really doesn't miss a whole lot, can create separation and do the things that he does. That's what we need. I know J.J. Burden's going to be really happy that I brought him up because, you know, he's the next Oregon guy. But, man, that guy – He's got all the tangibles to be a great wide receiver in this league.
Honestly, I think he can go in the first round.
I don't know, man. I think he's going to go higher just because there's so many other wide receivers that people – I agree that he could go in the first round. I just don't think he will. I think he's going to be high threes. I think he's going to be low fours. And the reason I say that is because, like you said, Quentin, everybody wants big-name guys, somebody that's on everybody's radar that all the draft gurus are talking about. So they're going to grab. They're going to go after those guys first. He's not one of those guys that everybody's talking about.
One of the more impressive stats coming out is that his quarterback rating when targeted 146.
Fucking insane!
That is insane. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Big
money.
Oregon was running all kinds of routes with him. Right, they were running short, intermediate, deep balls. He was successful at all of them. This is a guy that he's a little bit on the smaller side in terms of his frame. Now, he's only 21 years old, right?
He's young.
He has the ability. He can keep growing. Just 176 pounds.
He weighs 187 now.
But, you know, this is a guy that can get bigger. That would be my only concern is just his size. But, man, you're absolutely right. His athleticism and his ability to run with the ball. I seriously think that this is a first round guy and that he could go 32nd to Kansas City.
I got to tell you, he's gained weight. He's actually 187 now, and that's pretty impressive for somebody to gain that quickly, because at the end of the season, he was about 176, 177. He's already put on the weight he needs to put on, and that's pretty insane that he was able to do that quickly. And I don't know. I love this kid. I would love to see him in the Chiefs uniform. Love to see it. Who's next, Diz?
It's my final pick. We don't even need to tease it up. It is a tight end out of Iowa, Eric All.
Tight end, you?
This was a guy that I think Philip asked me to look into and talk about. So, you know, when the people ask, the people get. This is a guy that has strong hands. He is able to go out and high point balls. I mean, when you're 6'5", 250 pounds, you know, you better be able to high point some balls. This is a guy that I don't think is a big factor, you know, for some of those deeper passes, but you want to talk about in between, you know, the first down marker, that 3 to 7 yard is where I think he could thrive. He has a good feeling against zone coverage. Still needs some time to develop. But if we're having an overall conversation with ourselves, Iowa's come out with some hell of great tight ends.
Yes.
And we're getting to the point where at a certain point, you got to trust what Iowa's been able to develop. It's like Oklahoma and tackles, right? At a certain point, you just got to realize when you see something positive coming from a guy, you need to realize that they're the whole package. This is a quality tight end. I know they just signed a tight end, so I don't know if Kansas City's going to make a role, you know, an opening for them in the draft, right? I don't know if Kansas City goes after a tight end, but if you do, man, you got to go with the Iowa guy because they've been able to come out with an insane list of NFL quality NFL tight ends over the last 6 years. So this is a guy that I think Kansas City could look at. He can block. He can, you know, get passes on that intermediate spot. Like I said, not a deep down the field guy, but I don't need that. So that's what I'm looking at right here.
I mean, I like that pick, man. I mean, that just shows that if the Chiefs can find the tight end in the future, Iowa's where you need to look at because they have come up with so many guys there, and I just can't wait to see what's going to happen in the end because the way the Chiefs have been drafting, I believe the next tight end we pick, Kelsey, like, build, mold, everything, Chiefs can be in a very good spot moving forward.
Yeah. The only thing I can say about that guy is that I don't know how long it's going to take to develop him. He's got most of the tangibles, but like you said, he's not a guy that can go 15, 20 yards downfield and be on time. If he can't do it in college, I don't know how quickly he's going to translate to the NFL.
You know what, though? When you're just behind Travis Kelce, like sort of like the point we brought up with Leggett, right? I don't need you to have everything right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you have sort of time to develop the other parts of your game. When you're the guy that has some good qualities now, we can figure out some of that stuff a little bit later down the field because there's less pressure. And so I think that's where his skill set can really come in handy.
Yeah, I agree. Phillip's got Tip Reamann from Illinois. He said he doesn't believe birds are real, but that's okay. Let's see. It says he ran a 4.64, 28 reps at 225. 271 pounds. Holy crap. That's a big-ass tight end.
He was moving.
Look, 271 to run a 4.64, that's quick, no matter how you look at it. That's a fast dude. I'm pretty amazed that this draft class has – there's probably four tight ends in this draft class that are phenomenal. And then the rest of them, you know, they're serviceable. But there's three or four that are really damn good. And that's I think Veach is going to draft a tight end. I really do. I think he's probably going to end up drafting a tight end. It's about that time. And I don't know what he thinks of what's his name that he just signed, Irv, but I don't know, man. I think it's just about that time. Kelsey's got 2 years left, and I think he's going to retire. He's going to finish out his contract, and then he's done. So it's time
How much longer does Noah Gray's contract have?
One more year, I think. I think it's one more year.
I think this is the last year on
the team. 2024 is it.
Yeah, so if if Brett Veach is truly looking to draft a year ahead at every position, maybe this is the time to go. I mean, you know my Wildcat bias, but they've got a tight end coming out. There are some that, you know, they're not superstars, but they're quality guys that, you know, can move into the system. And tight ends are kind of like offensive linemen, specifically tackles, where it takes them more time than usual to come in and be, top tier guys in the NFL. Very rarely do you get a tight end to come in and be that guy their rookie year. It's just one of those positions that takes a while. And I think that's because no matter where you are, what team you are, there's so much to learn at the NFL level, from blocking schemes to passing schemes. So it takes them a little bit longer to develop at the NFL level. So, yeah, I do think that if it's there, if you're in the, you know, back 100 picks or whatever, go and get a tight end. See what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Well, everybody out there that's flipping out about a wide receiver, it's probably time to not worry about that right now. Just stop flipping out. It's not something that Veach is going to rush into. If he gets a deal struck with – there's a couple guys that he's – three guys right now that he's actually looking at. If he gets a deal struck with one of them, it'll happen sooner. If not, it won't. But I'm not worried about what he does. I'm just not concerned. Somebody's going to work out, and when they do, it'll all be good. He freed up that money for a reason. I know he wanted to bring some of his guys back, but he still has enough money to sign someone. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to do that. You don't know. It could happen by this weekend. There's a couple guys that I know he's pretty close, at least one he's close with. So we'll just have to see what happens. But worrying about it and bitching about it is not going to do anybody any good. I was happy they brought back who they brought back. There's probably going to be a couple more that gets re-signed, and that's okay. We need to have those system guys that understand everything that's going on. Especially, I'm sorry, but on the defensive side of the ball. And I've heard a couple of times that McColl might be back.
We'll see.
So everybody – you know, it is what it is. You know, people that don't like McColl, I don't know what to tell you, because he's probably going to be back.
The whole saga all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is what it is, but I'm hearing he's probably going to be back. So, and I'm not going to complain about it. Mahomes likes him a lot.
Well, it's easy to like a guy when you catch the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
That does help. But, I mean, he liked him before. He didn't want him to be traded to begin with. Or cut. So it is what it is. I think he's probably got a pretty good shot of coming back. We know we're stuck with – I can't say that. I'm not going to say it that way. We know we got Tony coming back.
I know exactly what you were going to say, but we can just move on from that.
Yeah. Yep. And they got a lot of faith in him right now, so we'll see what happens with him. But, hey, we're going for a three-peat right now, and that's all that really matters. Every other team is kind of falling apart, and we're just holding steady, and that's what we got to continue to do. Mm-hmm. With that being said, everybody that's on this right now, do us a favor. If you're listening on anything but YouTube, please do me a favor and go on YouTube and like and subscribe. There's 1,070 people on here. We really appreciate it if you would. Buy us a cup of coffee here and there. That would be nice. We will be back on Tuesday with some more NFL news, and hopefully we'll have somebody signed by then. And if not, we'll still have something to talk about. With that being said, we appreciate everybody for joining, and we will talk to you guys again on Tuesday. Peace out, everybody.
See ya.